Good evening. Welcome back. It's good to see you here tonight. It's a beautiful evening, beautiful day, maybe perfect weather-wise. If you'll open your Bibles to the book of Ruth, we're going to study a sermon I entitled, The Pilgrimage of Naomi. We all know the story, I think, for the most part. If you don't, you might go back and read those four chapters sometime. It's quite fascinating. We're not going to study the book per se. We're going to study an application to the book that all of us can use as Christians and people who love the Lord and want to do what's right. The book of Ruth belongs, no doubt, to the time of the judges. In fact, I think it could even be pointed down maybe to the time of Gideon when the Midianites were burning the fields and the Israelites were starving to death because they're going through another period where they had turned away from God and God is punishing them through their enemies to try to get them to humble themselves and repent and come back to God. And so Judges 6, 1 through 6 will give an illustration of what we're talking about. But during this time, if you read in chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "It came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." So you're familiar with where Moab is. It's not too far from Bethlehem across the Dead Sea, but a foreign land and one that God had forbidden the Israelites to go into. They were the enemies spiritually and physically of Israel, but for whatever reason, maybe because he thought, well, there's food there and we can't just sit here and starve to death. That's what happens. He takes his wife Naomi and their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and off they go to Moab. Well, it tells us in this story in verse 2, "The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to the country of Moab," now watch this, "and remained there." Telling story. Remained there. Well, here you have a man with his wife and two young sons, and everything looks wonderful, and they're trying to survive and do the best they can. But keep in mind that the famine of the land is what drove this family to Moab, but the Moabite connections to those heathen people is what kept them there, as we'll see if the story goes on. And here's the first lesson from our chapter 1 of Ruth. That is, adversity will do one of two things. It will either drive a person away from the Lord, or adversity will drive a person toward the Lord. And really, that's the choice we have to make. Am I going to let adversity destroy me, or am I going to let adversity draw me closer to God? But keep in mind with this story, Elimelech no doubt made a bad choice. The Bible didn't say much about him, but you have to ask yourself, what believer among us has ever improved our lives by leaving where God's people are and running off to the figurative land of Egypt? And so very often you have people running away because they're trying to run from family and conscience, like the prodigal son. He wanted his inheritance and he went off to a far country so that he could enjoy the spoils of a riotous life without his family pointing a finger to him and saying, "You shouldn't do that." Now don't misunderstand, Egypt was a fine country to go to when Joseph was there and God provided for his people there. But Joseph is not in Egypt anymore, and there's no foreign land where we can go spiritually that will be better than where we are now. So apart from Jesus Christ, if we go out to the world to try to find solutions for our problems, we're going to wind up like this family did, worse than when we started out. Because what happens next? Well, what happens next is Elimelech dies in Moab. Don't know how, he just dies in Moab. And then Mahlon dies in Moab. Chilion dies in Moab. And now Ruth is destitute. Naomi, I should say. And so later on in the chapter, verse 20, when she does wind up back in Israel, she tells the people, "Do not call me Naomi, but call me Mara, because God has dealt bitterly with me." Isn't that sad? Here a wonderful family goes off but only one of them ever returns. And so it's very sad to see that. Naomi was hardly recognizable by her family. In chapter 1 and verse 19, it says, When the two of them came to Bethlehem, it happened that all the city was excited because of them, and the women said, "Is this Naomi?" So she was hardly recognizable because of the sadness that she had gone through in her life. But again in verse 20 it says, "Do not call me Naomi, but Mara, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me." But again in verse 21, she doesn't argue with the Lord. She simply says, "I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" I think Naomi is a woman of great faith because she doesn't blame the Lord. She just says, "God's in control, and look what he's allowed to happen in my life. I've lost my husband and my children. What more is there that she could do?" And so again, adversity is going to make you better or worse. And here we have Naomi having to make that choice in her life. And so many people have run away from home figuratively or spiritually only to regret their decision later in life. So again, we look at chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. And Naomi decides, "I'm going to return home." And she does so fairly broken and hopeless. She has nothing left to look forward to, but she's going back home just the same. You wonder what she could have done differently. If you were in her shoes and you were in a foreign land, what would you do differently? And her husband undoubtedly had made the choice to go to Moab, and like an obedient wife, she went along with him. But she does accept her portion of the blame for the responsibility. The Bible says, "Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." And I can't see how they did that going off to Moab. But in chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread." And notice what it says again. It says she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. She's not just making a trip, she's leaving. She's leaving the land of Moab to come back home to the land of God. Well, that reminds me also of the prodigal son when he was destitute. He remembered his father's house and remembered how his servants had plenty of food to eat and to spare, and here he's starving himself on the husk that even the hogs would not eat. And so destitution sometimes drives you back to where you should be in the first place. Again, the Bible talks about people wandering from God or wandering from the truth. In James 5:19, it says, "If any of you wander from the truth." And you know, to me, a wanderer is somebody who's milling around out there in the foreign land and doesn't know where he's going or where he's been or what's going to happen next. And so I think that's a fit term to say we have wandered away from God as though we are lost. But here's what's interesting about this story. She had heard in the country of Moab that there was bread in Israel. She believed what she was told, and that was her gospel, if you will, her good news. And then she acted upon what she had heard. And that, again, is identical to the gospel message. If you hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you first have to believe in Jesus with all your heart, don't you? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, is the confession we make. And that's not an idle statement. What that's saying is, I believe Jesus and everything about him. That means I believe that when Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins." That means I believe I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That means Jesus died for my sins on the cross. All those things are connected with that. And when you believe that good news like she did, in Acts 15:14 says that Simon said that God first visited his people. God visited Israel with bread. God visits us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you believe in that, then you believe what John 6 and verse 35 says. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Again, verse 48 of John chapter 6, he said, I am the bread of life. What a statement. And so sometimes people in our country are spiritually starving and they want help for their anger or their confusion or their lack of faith or their lack of hope or their depression, sadness. And Jesus Christ is the answer to their questions if they simply would go and turn to him. So sadly today, those who are suffering from these maladies of loneliness and depression, sadness, if only they would turn back to God and leave the country of Moab from which they dwell. But sadly, the majority of the people seem content to stay in Moab. Well, we have two choices here. Let's look at chapter 1 and verse 7 now of the book of Ruth. Because she has two daughters-in-law that have to make a choice. They're widows as well. Their husbands have died. But it says in verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. In verse 7, therefore she went out from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Now keep in mind, she's headed back to what city? Bethlehem. And so her daughters-in-law start off with her. And Naomi was determined she was going, but she didn't necessarily think those who would go with her would. And again, we need to realize that you can't return unless you've first been gone. And God tells his people in 2 Corinthians 6:17, come out from among them and be separate. Well, where were they? They were in among them. Naomi and her family were among the Moabites. God says, come out of there. God tells you and me, you live in the world, but come out from among the world and be separate and do not touch the unclean thing. Because if heaven is to be gained, as we pointed out this morning, we cannot have the love of the world in our heart. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, what? The love of the Father is not in him. And so we can't say, well, I'm going to be in the world and comfortable there and make my bread and my home here, but somehow or another, I'm going to serve God. That's not what the Bible teaches. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we see the Corinthians dealing with the same problem. And notice what it says in that chapter. Paul is writing to these Christians. He says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table, the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? They wanted to be friends with their old cronies in the temple of idols and eat the bread of demons and the cup of demons and at the same time on the Lord's Day come and have fellowship with Jesus Christ and his blood. And Paul said, you can't do that. He who is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. You've got to come out from among them. And you know what illustration he uses to point that out? Go back to chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians and remind yourselves that Paul gives that long history of Israel in the wilderness and how they all tried to be like the world and they all died in the wilderness because they didn't have enough faith to come out from the world and be true to God. And so how many of those Israelites found success in their idolatry, in their adultery, in their murmuring and complaining? Paul says, they all died in the wilderness, and these things happened to them for our example, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And we should learn the lesson from that. You can't be a double-minded man and serve God. So choose whom you will serve today. Naomi didn't just leave Moab, she went out of it, never to return again. But now we come to Orpah and Ruth, who began the journey with Naomi to Bethlehem. Naomi urged them to go back home. You ever find that strange when you read that? I do, but then I think I understand what's going on in this chapter as I studied it this time. Maybe not, but turn back to Ruth chapter 1. In verses 8 through 13, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go return each to her mother's house. Jehovah deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead with me." In other words, you young ladies have been wonderful wives to my dead sons, but they're now dead. And may Jehovah treat you well in the land where you belong. Verse 9, "Jehovah grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should say I have a husband tonight and should bear sons, would you wait for them until they were grown?" So she's looking out for them. "There's nobody that I can give to you for a husband, and you girls need a husband." And so she's very logical about that. So she says, "No, my daughters, for it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And so from every logical, human, reasonable standpoint, she's saying, "Go back home, don't follow me. The Lord has dealt bitterly with me, and if you stay with me, I'm just bad luck." But I think there's more to that story than that. Because in verse 15, we see that Orpah has decided to go back home and take her mother-in-law's advice. And oh, how she must have loved her to even start on the journey with her. But maybe in Orpah's mind, her eyes saw Bethlehem, but her heart was still in Moab. But now Ruth is a different story. She was determined to go with Naomi. And in verse 15, verse 14, it says, "They lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, 'Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law.'" And I think that's the key to this situation here. Orpah has gone back to her people and her what? Her gods. That's what she believes in. And Naomi is saying, if you don't believe in Jehovah, then go back to your gods and stay with your family. You're not going to get anything from me. I'm an old woman. I'm an old widow. I have no more sons. From a physical standpoint, I have nothing to offer. The only thing left to offer was Jehovah. And she said, go back to Moab and go back to your gods. And Orpah said, that's what I'm going to do. So why did Ruth go with her? Because she believed in Jehovah. And she loved her mother-in-law. But then so did Orpah. But let's read along as we get here. Ruth said in verse 16, "Entreat me not to leave you, or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. Jehovah do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." You'll never read a greater declaration of faith, conviction, and courage in all the Bible. Because all you have to do is put yourself in Ruth's place. She's following with her mother-in-law, but she's never been to Israel. When she gets there, she's going to be viewed as an outcast and a foreigner. She doesn't have any promise that God will bless her if she goes, but she says to Naomi, "I'm going with you, and I'm going to be your people, and I'm going to worship your God, and I'm going to die where you die. Nothing in the world is going to keep me from you." And as we've already seen, the Bible says she clung to her, which means she grabbed hold, wouldn't turn loose. What a statement that is. And so, obviously, Orpah did not love nor serve Jehovah, even though she did love her mother-in-law. But that's not the first time someone turned their back. In Luke 17:32, Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife?" And so Ruth's loyal dedication and faith is a tremendous compliment to her, because she was determined to go back to Bethlehem with her. And she would not turn back, no matter what Naomi said to her. Well, we see that again in the New Testament. Demas loved this present world and left Paul in Christianity, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. Whereas in Colossians 4:14, Demas is a faithful servant of the Lord, and he and Luke are with Paul in prison, ministering to him there. But again, in Luke 14:28, Jesus Christ warned all of us, which of you determining to build a tower does not sit down first and count to see if he has enough to finish? Lest when he builds and cannot finish, he will be heard to say by everyone, look, he started to build a tower, but could not finish. Even so, you also, if you do not leave all, you cannot be my disciple. And so I think we can say that Ruth has made a confession that says, I'm leaving everything to go to Bethlehem. And again, put yourself in her shoes. Could you have the courage to do that? She did because of her faith in God. And what's ironic is the word Bethlehem literally means house of bread. Bethel, Beth, is house. And the Hebrew word that is added on as a suffix, lehem, means bread, house of bread. They left Bethlehem because there was no bread. There was a famine in the land. They came back to Bethlehem because there was bread, and God provided for them in more ways than we can ever imagine. Now, Bethlehem was excited to see them, and the text says in verse 19, it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them, and the women said, is this Naomi? But what I want you to notice is the two of them came together, and what a comfort it must have been to Naomi to have Ruth with her. And Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? And I'm reminded also of the two disciples that walked together on the road to Emmaus, not certain of what their future held, but as Jesus joined them, they did not know who he was. But afterwards they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us of the way? And so here is Naomi and Ruth, afraid of what the future may hold, but determined to go back to the land of God. And so we see a rejoicing at their return. Even though Naomi bears the scars and the wounds and the sorrow and the heartache of losing a husband and two sons, she still has enough conviction and faith to go back to God and to do what she knows she should have done all along. That's a great compliment. The prodigal son had the great courage to take personal responsibility. And when he came home, he said, I have left you, Father. I've shamed your name. I've spent your wealth. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants. But the father made a great feast for his son because he loved him. In Luke 15 and verse 7, it says, there's great joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 who need no repentance. And why not? Jesus said, what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? And therefore we have Ruth and Naomi together in the land of Bethlehem. Well, again, when we see the statement, is this Naomi, we think of the scars and the stains of sin. But Naomi bravely bore the bitterness of her life and never seems to have lost her faith in God. And that's a great compliment to her, and the rest of her life turns out quite well. But keep in mind that when we decide to leave the Lord, to leave His church, and to go out into a far country, that far country is going to cost you everything you are, and everything you have, and everything you believe, because Satan is the most severe taskmaster of all. Verse 21 of chapter 1, Naomi said, I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. That's what happens when you leave the Lord. God cannot undo your choices. He can and will forgive you and restore you to the family like the father of the prodigal son did, like those who rejoiced in Bethlehem when Naomi returned. But you have to bear the consequences of your choices, the consequences of your sins. And we all have to do that because they are many. But keep in mind that though we may bear them in this life, The Bible says very confidently to the believer who has fallen away and returns, and also to the person who becomes a child of God in the first place, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. So are you as near the Lord as you ought to be? If not, then won't you learn from the lesson of the pilgrimage of Naomi that if friends or family have taken you away from God, that you'll come back as a backsliding Christian because you no longer want to be robbed of all your possessions, peace with God, joy in salvation, courage of how to live this life for the short while we're here, and the deep conviction that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And say once again with all of your heart, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be faithful and loyal to that confession every day of your life. I see Naomi saying that. I'm coming home. I'm leaving Moab. I'll never go back again. I lost a husband and two sons in that land. I'm coming back home to Israel, the house of God. And if you're disposed to do that tonight, we invite you to come as well while we stand and sing.